was a lot of talk last legislative session in the state of North Dakota in regards to paid family leave. And, you know, it's futuristic here in North Dakota. It certainly isn't in other states. We all know that. We know that. We know that for many places where they want to compete with other, you know, states, with other parts of the nation for that employee, that highly skilled employee, that this is a topic of conversation, in some cases, the law. In North Dakota, it didn't surprise me that this went down, but it did surprise me on where they went with it after that. And one of the advocates for paid family leave is Senator Erin Oban. She was the driving force behind it during the legislative session to open up that conversation. Senator Oban, good to have you on News and Views.
Good morning, Joel. Good to be with you.
What happened here?
So there was a House bill introduced by prime sponsor Representative Carla Rose Hansen from Fargo. Obviously started in the House, and I was a co-sponsor of that, helped to testify in front of the committee that heard that bill. And, I think we knew what the outcome was going to be, especially given the makeup of the North Dakota House. And it was defeated pretty soundly. I think the most disappointing part of that outcome was that one of the co-sponsors was a young woman who actually was about to have a baby, and she voted against it in the end. And she was one of those ones who certainly benefited from the North Dakota legislature essentially having a 100% fully paid family leave program. So after that defeat, I introduced a study over in the Senate just so we could have a longer conversation to try to iron out some of the concerns that people raised on how do you start a program? How do you best implement the program? And I want to be clear, this is not a government-run program. This is a benefit paid for by employers and employees together. It's an earned benefit, and they wouldn't have that conversation either. The study was defeated in the Senate.
Did they give a reason why? Why they wouldn't even get in a room and have a conversation about what other states are doing here?
When I was testifying in support of the study in the Senate committee, there were questions about this being a mandate. There are questions about how is it paid for? Kind of some of the same questions that were asked over in the House. And I said, that's precisely what a study is to really dive into those questions. And they're all really worthy questions. And worthy of debate. And then when it came to a vote in the committee, it just barely got a majority of support in the committee. And then when it was brought to the Senate floor, there was no discussion. There was no debate. I carried it, presented the committee's recommendation to move forward with the study, and it was defeated. No discussion at all. So, you know, you'd really have to ask those people who don't support even having the conversation.
Why would have you voted for this if it came to the floor? Why did you sponsor it?
So I sponsored it because I know the realities of working families in North Dakota. I'm one of them. I'm a working mom. When I started as a legislator, I was not a mom. I did not have a child. But what ended up happening is I got a sick dad. And my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer. My mom is one of those 62,000 North Dakotans who are unpaid caregivers who kept my dad out of the hospital as much as possible, out of a nursing home, and took care of him until the day he died. Not long after my dad passed away, we adopted a little baby. And so then I was faced with not having childcare and the importance that we all know of spending time with a newborn after they're born, whether they are, whether a mom gives birth or whether the baby's adopted. You need time with a baby. And those are the same situations that thousands of North Dakotans face every day.
You made reference to people from the state of North Dakota have a benefit, in this case, that state representative having a paid family leave and yet not voting for it. For others, obviously, your sense is, and mine, I would agree with you on, is that's hypocritical. Does that plan include? And let me give you an example. Okay. You know, because you've got a husband and a wife having a child. The wife doesn't work for the state of North Dakota. The husband does work for the state of North Dakota. Does the husband get family leave as well as the mother?
So right now, there is no paid family leave program for state employees. What they have are sick days and vacation days that are a part of the package they're offered as an employee, just like any private sector employee, you know, would negotiate that with their employer, we hope. So the father would have to use some sort of combination of his sick and vacation days if he wanted to take any sort of parental leave after his child was born.
So we talked earlier about, and I made reference to being a competitive state, because people look at things like this. If they want to start a family, they're much more mobile than they've ever been. And there's not too many people that 20 years later say, I've been at this job for 20 years. They transfer jobs so easily now, which means they're willing to move to other states as well. So what are other states doing? These states that their economy that we're trying to compete against for workers?
I think this is one of many. I don't believe in silver bullets really for anything. But when we are constantly competing with other states to attract young, able-bodied workers, which we are, I mean, when we have a 2.3% unemployment, I think that's the last number I heard, we have to do something to attract workers. And whether, you know, whether older generations or your generation or my own generation like it or not, workers in my generation and younger want a balance. They want a balance between their work and home life. And part of that balance is being able to have or grow a family or be with a loved one in their last days. And so to have somebody choose between their paycheck and one of those really life-changing events, like a birth or a death, not having to make that choice actually improves employee morale. It improves their commitment to their employer. It reduces retraining costs for an employer. And really, it is one of those things where it's good for business and it's good for family if we're willing to make that investment. And again, this is not a government program. This is a benefit paid for by an employer and an employee together.
So it's happening, though. I mean, it is happening
in certain
states and clearly in certain employers. I mean, if you look at the way Microsoft, which is one of our biggest employers in this state, treats their employees and how it's very progressive because they don't want to lose that young mind. I mean, they don't.
Right.
Aaron, I was at a conference and it was put on by Pfeiffer's, and there was an economist in relation to the ag economy. He had worked in the cotton industry before, and it just stuck with me. And it might be going a different direction. I know you got to get back in a room here, but I just want you to hear this part of it. He said that America was at 1.7, which means that we're about to go over the cliff if we get to 1.5. And China had taken it to 1. And what he was talking about was children per family. And he said, we're not growing that next intellectual labor force like we have been in the past, where my mom and dad had 7 kids type of a thing, right? And he said China went ahead and they limited everybody to 1. Everybody wanted a boy instead of a girl, so now there's 3/4 boys and 1/4 girls coming into the next generation, which you just do the math on that and see how many are coming. And the point I'm building up to here is, unless we have people like you and Chad have kids and raise kids, we're not going to have a future economy, which we can have if your kids aren't there to work.
And it's amazing that this has become a part of that conversation. And Joel, you know how hard I worked to get elected and how many conversations I would go up to somebody's door and talk about what's important to them. And the number of people who I talk to who literally make the decision on whether or not they have a child is if they have to take time off of work, and if they have access to childcare after that, and if they can afford it. I could not believe the number of, you know, in my generation and younger, men and women who answered their doors. That's what they wanted to talk about. You know, they don't want to talk about a lot of the things that, that politicians get hung up on. They want to talk about the real issues that impact their household, and this is one of them.
So just so people know, during the off season, I call it I'm too sports minded, but during the interim here, what ends up happening is legislative council picks things to study. In other words, picks things to put legislators in a room and have a conversation about. And they didn't even choose this one, even though in the Senate it passed unanimously.
It didn't pass. It didn't. The study didn't even pass through the legislature to give legislative management the option of studying it.
So I thought it passed and went before them, and they rejected it. Okay.
Nope. We didn't even get to choose it to have the discussion on whether or not it gets studied because it failed in the Senate. And I think it's important, just you know, as we maybe get close to wrapping up this conversation, Joel. Almost half of North Dakota workers don't even earn one single sick day in their job. Oh. And so, I mean, for people to say, you know, everybody already has access to this, they're probably sitting in a position where they don't know what the average worker in North Dakota gets as a benefit.
Interesting. Aaron, thank you. Thanks for walking me through it, because I thought it didn't get picked up as a study. So to hear that the Senate didn't pass it is even more discouraging. So thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Joel. Take care.
State Senator Aaron Oban. Why would